shocked when MI5 issued an alert to UK Parliament of a Chinese spy who works actively on the Parliament members. Supreme Court issued two rulings on the vaccine mandate yesterday. And North Korea fired its third round of missiles. How could US respond? The thought of the week, what if America really want to try socialism?Welcome to Wei and Kathy show, and Kathy's absent, and this is Wei only here. So hope you like the content that I presented to you. Okay, so today we'll be talking about, let's first talk about the thought of the week. This is a new, episode I want to introduce, which is we want to share with you what's our thought for the week. So today is what if America really want to try socialism. So before that, we'll be talking about North Korea's firing this third round of missiles. And what could we respond? And what would this lead to? And even before that, we're going to talk to you about the Supreme Court's two rulings on the vaccine mandate. And what can we read out of it? Even before that, we'll be talking about a issue that is rocking United Kingdom yesterday and today.A Chinese spy there. Okay, so before we start, please click like and also share our show. Also, just making sure that you are subscribed. You know, you can never count on that. So please do that, and also the little bell and click on that so that you can be reminded when our show starts. Thank you very much for being with us. And so first of all, talking about what's happening in the UK.So the United Kingdom actually has been rocked by a major spying scandal yesterday. MI5, which is Military Intelligence 5, you know, UK's FBI, and sent it to all parliament members an interference alert, saying that a Chinese attorney, Christine Lee, who is a double national, Chinese national and also UK national, and has been engaged in political interference activities on behalf of the Chinese Communist Party, engaging with the members here at the parliament and associated with the political entities. So specifically, Lee is accused of trying to influence Labour MP, a member of the parliament, Barry Gardiner, who is the ally of the Jeremy Corbyn.And Corbyn is the leader of the Labour Party, which is the opposition party now, and before 2020. And she also tried to influence the other hosts, such as Prime Minister David Cameron, and also the Theresa May, and so on. So since 2005, Ms. Lee has donated nearly £700,000.To the Labour, mostly through Mr. Gardiner's office. That also includes £180,000 that would pay the wages of the two of these Parliament members' aides. One of them happened to be Chris Lee's son, Daniel Wickes. So in a statement, Mr. Gardiner said, Mr. Lee's son resigned earlier today.And he has no knowledge of his mother's activities. Well, you can guess. And Lee's son has been serving as this MP, member of the parliament's diary manager. So basically, he knows everything about what he does. So Gardiner denies conducting anything wrong. He said, they are aware that I have not benefited personally from those donations in any way.And she seized the funding any workers in my office in June 2020. And the MP also said all the donations were properly reported in the register of a member's interest and their sources verified at the time. Okay, is that true? Is that true? There's a research scholar, a postdoctoral scholar of a UK university, and his name is Martin Thorley. And Martin Thorley published such a report on the web.And so basically he said Christine Lee made a donation to the Liberal Democrat leader, Sir Ed Davey, in 2013 when he was a minister for the energy. when the at that time the conservatives and the liberal Democrats were in joint government. 2 years later, okay, Secretary General Xi Jinping visited the UK in 2015, and an intention was reached for the Chinese participation in the construction of a nuclear project. It's called Hinkley Point C, which is on the southwest of the of England. All right, and this is the first new nuclear power plant in UK in nearly 20 years. How big is the project? £20 billion. So which is about like a, you know, almost like a 30 billion US dollars. Very, very big plant. But before the contract was officially signed in 2016, the UK announced that it was postponing the project. Okay, and Mr. Gardiner jumped in. He became very critical of the British government's decision. And his views soon became the main opposition of the opposition view of the Labour Party. And the earlier mentioned Ed Davey also played a central role in protecting the Hinkley Point C project, and his authority and persuaded liberal Democrats to support the nuclear power plant project. So what do we know now? What do we know now today is the project proceed was not stopped. Now it's already started construction 2 years ago in 2020. And Mr. Thiele, the postdoctoral researcher, also uncovered Christine Lee's ties to several Chinese Communist Party United Front groups and identified her as the overseas members of the Chinese Communist Party's political consultative conference, aggravated as CPPCC, which is the main political party, political body in China, okay? And the Thiele also shared Chinese reports of the Lee's meeting with the United Front and the CPPCC staff, as well as the photo of her shaking hands with Xi Jinping himself. All right, so the news here, well, became a big issue because MI5, which is, you know, compared to MI6, which is the UK's equivalent of a CIA, and MI5 is the FBI, they took a high-profile action of updating the entire parliament. So the head of the news become much bigger than the issue itself. So let me just share with you my point of view, okay? That's a clear indicator of the UK, apparently the MI5 did that intentionally, okay? Because their China policy has changed. So they do want to take such action to alert the entire parliament and the public that they are doing this, and we shall be aware of the Chinese spy who is who is infiltrating in the UK. And as a matter of fact, such issue, such agent, such spy is not rare at all. So they're all over the place in virtually every state of the US and in every major city of the US, because I'm in this field. So CCP, Chinese government, targeted not only our congressional reps, senators, or the House members. Remember that Nancy Pelosi, right? Like her driver was a turned out to be Chinese spy. This was just several months ago. The news broke out. Chinese government also targeted the local government. All right. So back in the media, for example, for the Chinese American media, those people, those reporters, they speak in good English. They speak Chinese, they know the Chinese community, so they just came from China and somehow got a job in the local Chinese American media. All right, so through their job, they got to know all kinds of people, senators, assemblymen, and mayors, and county supervisors, and people like them. They got acquainted because they need to report them, right? This particular reporter, let's say it's a lady, okay, it's a she. She got acquainted with them, got familiar with them. Someday she's gonna say, you know what, I wanna change job. I've been here at this, this media for 3 years, I wanna change job. And that assemblyman would say, well, okay, I need a liaison to the Chinese community. Can you come over and work for me? One by one, such reporter from China in this kind of the mysterious way, then go into the county office and assemblyman's office and senator's office and so on and so forth. It has become a phenomenon, okay? And that you cannot avoid observing that. So this is the way that for them to infiltrate the local office, because they know that those local offices, those local politicians, someday they rise up to the national. So they are in the long haul, they're in the long term investing in the future. Another thing that the CCP has been trying to do is to grow this so-called Chinese-American youth. Basically, they're the Chinese descendant. They hope they can grow them. Someday, 20 years later, they become the leader of the nation. Okay, so pay attention. Indeed, I'm saying this for a purpose, not really just casually. Okay, pay attention to Chinese-American political candidates arriving on the horizon of the country, and pay attention to them. I'm not saying that they're all bad, but this is at least one type of people that the CCP try to grow. And if you remember, take us back 70 years, back in the 1940, when the CCP was defeating the Nationalist Party in China, right? So with how to say, 1.8 million military, they can defeat a 80 million people military on the Nationalist side. How did they do it? Well, military is one thing. Actually, at that time, by the side of the Nationalist Party's leader, the then president of China, his name is Chiang Kai-shek, and by his side, there are more than one CCP agent. And Chiang Kai-shek's military order reached the hands of Mao Zedong, the CCP's supreme leader, before the order reached the Chiang Kai-shek's the corp commanders. That's a recorded in history. So that's how CCP was able to defeat the Nationalist Party, because their infiltration was so effective and it's all over the place, reached the very top of the enemy. Okay, so violence and the deceit, those are the two major weapons of any Communist Party. However, I'm glad to see that UK is taking this action. I do not see this as an isolated case. I see that's UK's government's attitude of doing such. Okay, let's move on to the next piece of news. If you have any comment, just type it up there. I do want to read from the comment, and so that we all know that how you think. And so next piece of news, I want to talk about, let's talk about Supreme Court's ruling, okay? On Thursday, yesterday, Supreme Court blocked the Biden administration from enforcing its sweeping vaccine or test requirements for large private companies. But it allowed a vaccine mandate to stand for medical facilities that take Medicare or Medicaid payments. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, first, the ruling came 3 days after the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA. This agency's emergency measure for business started to take effect. It was supposed to take effect on the 3 days ago, okay? However, the mandate, if taking effect, would require the workers at a business with 100 or more employees get vaccinated or submit a negative COVID test weekly so that they can enter the workplace. The Supreme Court said no to that. Okay, the court said in its ruling, although Congress has indisputably given OSHA the power to regulate occupational dangers, it has not given that agency the power to regulate public health more broadly. All right, it went on and said, requiring the vaccination of 84 million Americans selected simply because they work for employers with more than 100 employees certainly falls in the latter category. Okay, so basically it says it's overreaching. The OSHA, you shall only just take care of the people or the work in your domain. You cannot go beyond that. All right. So this ruling, three liberal justices dissented, while the other six consented. And then in the meantime, in a separate, simultaneously released ruling on the administration's vaccination rules for healthcare workers, a 5-4 majority sided with the Biden administration. Okay, so the court said, we agree with the government that the Health and Human Service Secretary's rule falls within the authorities that Congress has conferred upon him. And they said the rule fit neatly within the language of the statute. So they allow Biden to put a vaccine mandate in medical facility that take a federal fund, okay? Basically Medicare or Medicaid payment. So potentially that would impact 10 million health workers. I don't know whether you are one of them. If you do, write up how you think. Okay, and Justice Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, and Gorsuch, Neil Gorsuch, and Amy Coney Barrett, four of the six conservatives on the 9-seat bench dissented. The other people, of course, then consented. That's the other five votes. What do you think? Okay, the first one, of course, I think many of you would agree that this Supreme Court did its job, block Biden's vaccine mandate. On the second one, it allowed the health workers. Do you agree? Do you agree with the court's ruling? If you do, just type up there. Okay, it's basically saying that the health worker, the administration has their right. What do you think? So, yeah, before I see your response to that, I just want to share with you how my interview with Professor Paul Skousen. And Paul Skousen, I asked him the same question, okay? And yeah, he said he's very glad that the Supreme Court make the first ruling. But on the second one, he said it's wrong. They should not have done that because the government should not have the right to just impose somebody needs to do this to their body. And just as a, with that kind of right. So he doesn't agree to that. And if that's the case, he says someday they can say, you know, you cannot eat red meat. So this is still outside the mandate or the power of the federal government. So, but I don't know how you think about that. I just would like to see how you think. And so, all right. So next, let's move on to my next piece of news, which has to do with North Korea. So North Korea has fired two rounds of missiles this year already in a few days, including the hypersonic weapons. To respond on Wednesday, the Biden administration sanctioned a handful of North Korea individuals involved in obtaining equipment and technology for the missile programs. Okay, and the U.S. is also proposing the UN, United Nations, sanctions in response to the missile test. All right, so what's the North Korea's response? They conducted its third weapon test of this year. And then, so the two short-range ballistic missile was fired and at 2:41 p.m. and another one 10 minutes later. So on Friday, which is today, and it was launched from the country's north Pingyang province, which borders China. The two missiles flew about 270 miles at an altitude of about 22 miles before splashing into the waters between Korea, Japan, and Japan. All right. So the reason why I want to raise this with you, of course, this is not rare, right? They did that all the time. I just want to review with you that in the 2017, when President Trump walked into White House and sat down with the President Obama at that time, the biggest headache Obama passed on to Trump is the issue of North Korea. If you still remember at that time, North Korea was firing missiles every now and then, and even threatened the Guam, the island of Guam. And Hawaii was entering the drill at that time because who knows what's the next, where the next missile will be going to. So it becomes very, very tense. And really Obama at that time, to my recollection, and he really don't know how to resolve this issue. So he's stepping down. And so he passed the ball to President Trump. And then we know that for Trump, they have the Singapore talk, have the Vietnam talk, and then also in South Korea, and the 38 degree borderline talk and things like that. And North Korea has been largely quiet. Okay? And if you really remember, if we want to recollect what happened. So pretty much, President Trump did three things. First, issue very stern warning to the North Korea, to the Kim Jong-un, and the supreme leader, and saying that I will just raise range of fire for the entire North Korea. And that's the first thing. He does not show any weakness. The second, he invited him to Singapore, right? He pretty much just produced a PPT, PowerPoint. But I think it's a short video, basically showing him that I block every route he can go to, but I leave one exit. If you go through that revenue, that's in the northwest coast of the Korean Peninsula. He said you can have this, your free economic free zone, and where America will invest in that. We're going to build a high rise there, and a coastal hotel, and a resort, and things like that. We're going to bring prosperity to you. If you don't develop the nuclear program. And he just packed his bag and saying that behave. I'm going to give you, well, in Chinese, we'll give you candy if you behave well. Otherwise, I'm going to bomb the hell out of you. Bomb the heck out of you. It worked, believe it or not. It worked. And Kim behaved largely over those 4 years. And so if I have to summarize that in the way that the founding father would do if they were here today, it's very classic. Peace through strength. Build our strength first. And based upon that, we are not afraid to go to war. With that, we can avoid a war. Okay, that's why when Trump first came into power, the White House, he just raised 40% of the military spending, right? From $500 billion to $700 billion overnight. That's called peace through strength. So now, Biden is facing the same issue. This is another hot potato. And they sanctioned five Korean, officers. Would that work? Probably no. If the U.S. does not show the resolve of willing to use force and to deal with the North Korea, and then they would keep firing because they think every firing will create a disruption, create problems for those democratic nation, and those politicians won't like it, so they have to pacify North Korea, and then they will get what they seek after. So this is a test of the Biden. You know, he has Obama there, he has Trump there. What would he do? Maybe you can say very simple, just follow Trump because Trump's approach worked, but behind the Trump's action, there's a strong will, building the strength, and he's not afraid of using it. Do we have that? Does the new administration have that? If they have that, they can get this to work again. If they don't, it's going to become bigger and a bigger headache. We shall see. So peace through strength, that's one of the founding principles of our founding father left us with. Okay, so thought of the week. So basically, this morning I interviewed Professor Paul Skousen. So I asked him this question. So I said, every 4 years, right? New people, presidential election, people become 18-year-old, and then they become voters, they can cast a vote. And for the most of them, those young people, they grew up in the public schools, they are pretty much just brainwashed with this socialist is not bad type of thing, or even it's good. And with the most recent pandemic, young people, this is Professor Skousen's word, he said the young people got the wrong impression. Gosh, our government is so rich, they just keep sending us checks. Government has a lot of things. I'm entitled to that. So the welfare check now is sending a very, very wrong message. And young people learn to receive, they're entitled to. So that's a bad thing because our federal government is not rich at all. It's a $29 trillion in debt. They have zero money. They only have negative money. And then they still can keep printing money and keep sending money out. And that teach our young people a very bad lesson. So for those young people, when they don't appreciate what is really works in our country, and they only expect socialism, give them an easy income. Now, what really would happen to this country? Okay? So we all know that, we talk about that if we go to, you know, if we try socialism in this country, it's going to be turning to another Venezuela. But Professor Skousen told us, we already got a Venezuela. Let's hear him out.
You know, a good example of this is Detroit. Detroit used to be just a golden, sparkling city of productivity. The three big automakers were there, and they were pumping out these quality machines, and everything is just, it was building America. We could all travel and whatever you needed, you know, it was available in a truck, in a car, in a big car, a big truck, or a little one. Just Detroit was beautiful. And then socialism came. Socialism came in the form of unions. And the unions came in and they organized the workers and went on strike to get more money. As their demands went up, the quality of product began to go down. A direct result of socialism, which unions are, it's socialism. And so the foreign countries, the over in South Korea, in Japan, in Europe, they started to produce higher quality cars. They moved into America. They took over the market. This golden, gleaming, shimmering city of Detroit started to decay. People started to leave. They were being laid off from the factories. The factories started to close. Sections of the city became vacated. Gangs would move in. People would break down the walls to get the copper pipe. They'd rip it out of the walls and take it to the recycle center to get money. Properties were abandoned. Gangs roamed the sidewalks and the streets. And what did the government of Detroit do? They were all a bunch of liberal Democrats. They raised the taxes on the people. That drove more people out. This whole city was just shut down because of socialism and all of the rot that that brings. And the people moved out, and all the business of car making went up to Mexico, up to Canada, down to Mexico. And that's where the automobiles, foreign automobiles, Toyota and Honda and all these wonderful manufacturers, Hyundai, these different ones, that's where they were doing their work. They were shipping from overseas completed product. They were assembling completed product. And our market becomes inundated. And this American institution is shut down. It's rusting and rotting away. So that, I think, is a perfect example of the direction that America is headed. All these institutions that we rely on, that we're so proud of, that makes us so strong, part of the American dream, they're all being corrupted and undermined by the elements of socialism, which is the precursor to communism. That's in our country alive and right now. And until a Detroit-type rusting away and dissolution collapse, until that becomes really widespread, the people will probably just sit by and be happy to watch football and receive their welfare check.
Okay.
When that starts to collapse, then I think we'll see people.
Yeah. So I have a much more talk with Professor Skousen about that. How are the people in this country reacting to what we're going through? That's what he said. So basically he said things has to become much worse for people to realize really we have to do something about it. So before that come, people are still preoccupied with things that they have to do. And whatever happened in Washington, D.C. has not reached us yet. So we still have our life together. So we're going to keep sliding in the direction that this country is sliding into. So In the meantime, young people going through school and the media is doing the mainstream media, so-called MSM, they are doing the undeserved job and to keep misleading the public, including the young people who become voters year after year. So we're gonna face something that more and more serious, but it's still a blessing in disguise, because that's a process to awaken us so that we finally, probably more and more among us would realize, no, we have to do something about it. Okay, so this is Professor Skousen's word. And in terms of the Supreme Court's action of yesterday to rectify something that it should be doing, and it did, and also about the North Korea issue, the peace through strength, those are all just the very fundamental value of our Constitution, of what this country is all about. But the people has forgotten the Constitution and forgotten those values. That's why we are, all these things is happening. Our country is sliding into a certain form of socialism. And we really don't need to go through the entire experiment. Detroit already went through that. If we're looking for a Venezuela, it is called Detroit, Michigan. The shiny city now become a decayed one like this. In 2013, it declared bankruptcy. Of the total debt is $20 billion. That's the largest municipal bankruptcy in the U.S. history. That's our Venezuela. That's enough for us to learn from it, think about it, and act upon it. All right, so that's the thought of the week for today. And thank you very much for staying with us. And I hope that, with one person, I really cannot quite read the comments and in the meantime responding to you. I see Sharon Lee, you said, what does the Federal Reserve have to back up all this printing of cash? Where's the gold? Yeah, indeed, that's true. There's no gold. They keep printing. And then this negative, 29 trillion negative, federal government is just keep printing money, more and more money. And somebody has to pay for it, right? Either through later, a tax, through tax, or our children. So I think a lot of things for today is really for us to think about as the citizen of this country. We bear our duty. We have that duty. And just like 230 years ago, the founding fathers, they carry that on their back and they rectify the situation. And today, probably it's our turn. All right. And thank you all for being with us tonight. And so next week, Kathy will come back and we'll be continuing our program. And indeed, we're still we're working on making this program, turn that into a daily one. It takes a lot of preparation, but that's indeed our hope and also our promise to you. All right, thank you. Have a good night. Have a good weekend. And take care. Until next time.